Good morning. Happy New Year. How's the year going for you so far? Pretty good. Patriots lost. So that means it's a beautiful day. Sorry, Doug. I had to throw it out there. That's all right. Threw him off his counting. Kind of like the Patriots. Doug, you're a target. You're just right there. So check this out. I have new socks. You can never tell a book by its cover, can you? So I got a jacket on. It's a new year. It's a new Sunday. It's good to be here with you. We're starting a new series. I'm calling it Old Time Religion, New Time Faith. It's not that you get rid of that old time religion. In fact, we need to pay attention more to some of that old time religion. Some of the things that a lot of us grew up with. Some of the things that the church was about when we were children. And not allow it to disappear. But we can't allow it to drag us backwards. We gotta allow it to propel us forward into a new faith. Into a new life. Into a new hope. So this morning we're going to start a series on old time religion, new time faith as we go through the book of Galatians. It's going to take us about 3 months. So just, you know, buckle in, hang on, and then that'll lead us up into as we get ready for Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Easter. And we're going to start this morning in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. But let me kind of lead into this a little bit and share something. I'm not a technological genius. I know enough just to be dangerous, you know. And when something doesn't go right, if my computer isn't working, if the Wi-Fi isn't working, if my phone isn't working, Debbie will tell you, I pursue ways to solve it. And I work relentlessly trying to fix the problem and make it right. You would think by now I would learn the secret. The answer that I give Debbie every time she comes to me with a problem is one word. Reboot. Have you unplugged it and plugged it back in? Restart, reset, reboot. But I go through a lot of headache before I realize, well, let's just reboot. And it usually solves the problem. Sometimes in life, you ever feel like you need a reboot? You need a start over? You need a fresh beginning? Isn't that what the new year is all about? Is we actually feel guilty because something's not right. Something's wrong. And everything we've been trying so far hasn't changed anything. And so now, come January 1st, I'm going to reboot. I'm going to start over. I'm going to have a new beginning. It could be a desire to get a handle on our finances, to get healthier, to restore our marriage, or even to get a new job and start fresh. Not me. Well, that depends. When we have our annual meeting, I might have to get a new job. Wow, didn't even go there, but you guys did. All right. You know, we know that something is wrong. Something has to change. You can call it a New Year's resolution. Anybody do that yet? Oh, I am so proud of you. Because I am already stuck to my 5 days in the new year of my New Year's resolution not to have a New Year's resolution. So this reboot, this start over, this new beginning, you can call it a New Year's resolution. But really, it's an attempt throughout the year for all of us to want to do things differently, to want to do things in a better way. The same is true when it comes to our Christian faith. We enter into the new year with desires to start over, to reboot, to refresh our sense of connectedness with God, our sense of passion and love for the church. We want to be closer to God. We want to be a better Christian, a better disciple. We may commit to reading the Bible in a year, memorizing scripture, praying every day, serving somewhere, or giving more financially to the church. But unfortunately, like most New Year's resolutions, our attempts to live a more God-honoring, faith-filled life differently going forward into the new year will probably fade away. Not because of lack of effort or desire or willpower, but because we are operating out of the flesh and not by the Spirit. As we will look at the book of Galatians, we'll see that there's a difference between just practicing religion and living out our faith. Going through the motions and actually loving God and others in the way that Christ loved us. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to try to unpack. There's a lot in the first 10 verses, but hopefully I won't mess it up too much. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's his opening. That's his salutation. And then he gets right into it. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would continue to take our heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh, that by your written word, through your Holy Spirit, you would cleanse us and purify us and transform us, that we become more and more like your Son, the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. 2 points for you this morning, and the first one is this. When we talk about religion, the sense I have, when we're just kind of going through the motions, when we're just doing what we think Christians should be doing, is often about seeking the approval of God. And what I mean by that is not trying to please God and honor God, but desperately wanting God's approval and acceptance of me. There's nothing wrong in seeking the approval of God. In fact, in verse 10, Paul makes it clear that he is not seeking the approval of man, that he is not trying to please men, but rather he is seeking the approval of God, not to make God happy or to avoid the wrath of God, but as a way to honor God with all his heart, soul, mind, and body. The message, the gospel that Paul delivered to the Galatians when he was with them reminds the Galatians that seeking the approval of God is not based upon simply doing good works in an attempt to earn God's favor, to win God's favor, to seek his approval, to gain salvation by all the good that we are doing for God, but as a way to honor God. As a result of having been set free by Christ because of the grace of God. Trying to seek God's approval. Trying to please him. Trying to, you know, win him over onto our side so that we can have this confidence that he loves us. That he delights in us. That we'll get to heaven. If we're desperate in that way and we tried in our own flesh to please God, to honor God, to seek after his approval, we will get exhausted. It will drain us. Because it's impossible for us in our humanity to please God. All that we try to do by obeying God's word, by sacrificing our tithes and our offerings, by serving in the church, in the community, if it's done from the flesh, it becomes a weight, a noose We become a slave to good works. We become a slave to the law, and it doesn't draw us closer to God. So I've been to the gym a couple of days already in the new year. I went once in 2019. No, just kidding. It's packed. People want to get in shape. People are tired of sitting around on the couch watching football and eating all the Christmas and New Year's snacks and goodies, so they want to get in shape. So I was there this past week, and it occurred to me as I was thinking about this message that a lot of times when we are trying to please God, when we're trying desperately to do things better, to live right, to draw close to God in our own flesh, it's kind of like being on a stationary bike. Or it's kind of like doing the treadmill. I love the stationary bike. That's my go-to apparatus. And as I was doing it this past week, I realized I put out a lot of energy, but I don't get anywhere. At the end of my time, I'm right back where I started from. Can that be a little like trying to please God with our human effort? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of energy. But at the end, it doesn't get us anywhere. Because we're relying upon the flesh. We're relying upon ourselves. And we're not trusting in the fact that God already approves us because of the grace that has been bestowed upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing a stationary bike. There's nothing wrong going to the gym, doing the treadmill. There's a lot of benefits that come from it. It's a lot better than not doing anything at all. But it doesn't compare to taking a hike up Bear Creek Mountain and seeing Mount Rainier and Mount Adams and Goat Rocks. You know, it doesn't compare to somebody being outside running or riding their bicycle, getting ready for a 10K or a marathon and finishing it and completing it. Being in the gym, riding on the stationary bike, even though they put a screen in front of you that makes it look like you're outdoors, doesn't compare to the real thing. The same is true in our Christian faith. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to please God. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to spend more time in prayer. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to read the Bible in a year, memorize more scripture. There's great benefit in that. There are great rewards in that. If they are not done as a matter of duty and obligation, expectation, it's the Christian thing, this is what I've always done, going through the motions. If how we live our Christian life is simply guilt-driven, we will not get anywhere, and we will become a slave to guilt, a slave to fear, and a slave to the law and obedience, rather than walking and living by faith. Instead, our good deeds, our acts of righteousness, our spiritual disciplines are to be empowered by the relationship we have with God, who has given us the Holy Spirit, who is able to empower us to do works of righteousness, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, not as a duty, not as an obligation, but as a devotion to God, knowing that we love God only because He first loved us. Paul had given the Galatians the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation is based upon grace and not good works. And then some false teachers came in after Paul left, and they began preaching a different gospel, as Paul says, a distorted gospel. Thereby, he says, troubling the Galatians. My sense would be that they're creating confusion and doubt that God's grace isn't sufficient, that they aren't doing enough for God, that they need to work out their salvation. And they're creating fear. They're weighing them down with the law, where Christ has come to set us free by His grace. Paul says that their gospel, the false teachers, really is not the gospel at all. For as he says in verse 4, there is no other gospel than that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Paul says he's astonished. One translation says that he marvels at how quickly the Galatians are deserting the one true gospel, that of salvation by grace and grace alone. He cannot believe that they're turning back to their old ways. They're going back to what is comfortable and familiar. Yeah, you give me a to-do list, and I'll check off all the boxes. That's a lot easier. To live by grace, to walk by faith. It takes a trust. It takes a heart that leans into God and seeks Him not to win approval, but to have communion, to have fellowship, to be one with God, and to be one with His church. You see, Jesus came to set us free. Set us free from sin. Set us free from guilt. By ultimately setting us free from the law, because He alone is the only one who could perfectly fulfill the law. If you and I try to earn our way to salvation, if you and I try to seek God's approval by our own human initiatives, we will always feel like failures. The truth, the gospel, is that in Jesus Christ, we have already been approved by God. By the death of Christ, we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been given a fresh start, a new beginning. And all who are in Christ, Paul says, are new creations. The old is past. It's time to keep stepping into and living according to the new. Second point, faith is about accepting the approval of God. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. God's love to us is a gift. For God so loved the world that He gave us the gift of His Son, that we then might be set free from a world of sin, from this present evil age, Paul says, so that we might have true communion and fellowship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We didn't do anything to earn it. We now simply need to accept the gift and allow the Holy Spirit to keep pouring out God's grace and His love into our hearts, changing us inside and out, turning our heart of stone into a heart of flesh, one that takes delight and pleasure in serving God, in loving others, in praying, in worship. This table before us reminds us that you and I didn't seek after God. You and I didn't climb the mountain to get a view of God. He came down from heaven in Jesus Christ. He sought us before we could ever seek Him. He loved us before we could do anything to prove our love for Him. So when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, Paul says that we proclaim the death of Christ until He comes again. As we partake in communion, we are actually receiving the gift of God's grace to us. This table, communion on the first Sunday of every month, is not a reboot. It's not a start over. It's not a fresh beginning. It's a confirmation that Christ has already done the work for us. He has fulfilled the law. He has forgiven our sins, doing what you and I could never do. When Bill Hybels, a pastor in Chicago, was asked rather abruptly to explain the difference between Christianity and religion on the spot, the Lord gave him this analogy. He says it's the difference between do versus done. And you've probably heard this. He said religion is spelled D-O, do. It's about what we do for God. Christianity, faith, is spelled D-O-N-E, done. It's about what Christ has already done on the cross so that we might be with God. It's not so much about us doing things for God, but allowing our life to be such that we live with God here on earth. You know, remember, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. We can't take credit for our new life. We can't take credit for our salvation. We can't take credit for who we are as a Christian. We can only live our lives in response to what Christ has already done for us. Living our lives in complete abandonment and surrender and devotion to the God who first loved us, who sent His Son to die for our sins, that we then might be given the Holy Spirit who cleanses us, who heals us, who purifies us, who empowers us to love God and to love others in the way that Christ loved us. Now, just because we're saved by grace doesn't mean, well, then I don't need to practice any spiritual disciplines. I don't need to perform any acts of righteousness. I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. So I'll hang my hat on that. Well, if you read further on in Ephesians 2:8-9 and go to verse 10, Paul says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Many of the false teachers, and the reason Paul is writing this letter and defends his apostleship, many people believe that Galatians was a book of liberty, of license. That we have been saved by grace, that we have been set free, we can live our lives however we want to live them. But in the context of all of Paul's writings, we're reminded, no, God created us. God knew us before we were conceived. God had a plan for our lives. And as we walk by faith, we walk according to the Spirit, not by flesh, and to live the life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, by living according to what God puts on our heart. He says the law is now on your heart. It's not written in stone. It's written in the Spirit of my love for you. So now respond to what I put on your heart. I have created you, he says, in Christ Jesus for good works, to live the life that you were created to live, to be the person I want you to be, to follow your Savior in the ways that I want you to follow Him. So let down everything else and allow your heart to be refreshed. Allow your spirit to be restored. Allow your life to walk according to the Spirit by faith, not by fear, not by guilt, not out of duty, not out of obligation, but because the one who first loved us gave His life for us, that we then might live for Him. So as we get ready to come and share this table, to eat of the bread, to drink of the cup, Jesus said, do so in remembrance of me. Do so in remembrance of all that I have done for you. Do so in remembrance that it is the Holy Spirit who is at work in you to bring about new things, to create a new heart, to make you new creations. So at this time, I want us to spend time preparing our hearts. Not us, but allowing God to prepare our heart. Allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to breathe life into you. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of something that's preventing you from experiencing the freedom, the grace that is ours in Christ, confess that. But more importantly, here's what I would ask you to pray today. God, restore me. God, change my heart. God, don't just forgive me, but change me. Transform me. Give me a refreshing presence of your Holy Spirit. So invite Him into those places, not just confessing where you have failed, not just relieving yourself of guilt, but asking God to truly come cleanse you, heal you, restore you. Let's pray. Amen. You may be seated. So if you sang those words, not just words, but sang it with your heart and sang it with your spirit, if you're able to say yes to what those words were all about, knowing that God has already said yes to you through His Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus invites you to come to His table to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. He invites all of us to come. Maybe today is the first opportunity for you to understand and fully grasp that God loves you just as you are. And that by coming and receiving for the very first time the elements of this table, you're saying yes to God with as much as you're able to at this point, and accepting His grace, His forgiveness, His love for the very first time. And come, let this be a new beginning, a fresh start for you, trusting in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But for all of us, this table is a reminder that as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, Christ continues to invite us to come and drink of the living water. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, who are tired, who are trying to please God and earn His favor, who are feeling as though you're not getting anywhere. Come, sit at my feet. Choose the one thing today that you need to do. Rest in me. Come, all you who are weary and heavy burdened," and He says, "I will give you rest." And so we're reminded that on the night Jesus was betrayed, He sat with the disciples and He took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks. And He told them something that was probably kind of confusing at the time, but I believe at that moment as they were to eat the bread and drink the cup, the eyes of their heart were opened. Because He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That they would experience the reality of that truth in just a few short days as Jesus hung on the cross. As Jesus spoke to His Father and said, "Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm sure their hearts broke. And in that same manner, Jesus took the cup and He poured it and He gave thanks and said, "This is the new covenant. This is the new law. This is the new beginning that now you are able to be saved, not by works, but by grace. So drink of it, all of you. Come, drink of this living water." And so, for those of you who have never shared communion with us here at Grace of Christ, the way we do it here is simple. We will have elders and deacons up front with the elements. You will come out into the middle aisle, walk down to the front. The ushers will escort each row by row. And you will come, and as there is a place available, you will go and receive the bread and drink of the cup. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that what we do here on earth is sealed in heaven. That, Lord, heaven again would touch earth by Your Holy Spirit. That these elements somehow, some way, some manner would refresh us. Would give us grace upon grace. That You would renew us and restore us. We thank You for these gifts. We love You. We worship You. We adore You. In the name of Christ our risen Lord. Amen.